I heard about this senior citizen. He was driving down the freeway in his brand new Corvette with the top down, going 80 miles an hour, when he saw flashing red lights in his rearview mirror from a state trooper. Without thinking about it, he floored it, took it up to 100 miles an hour. He heard the sirens behind him and finally came to his senses and pulled over. He says, "Officer, I'm so sorry. I don't know what I was thinking." The trooper said, "Listen, it's Friday, 4 o'clock. My shift is over in 30 minutes. If you'll tell me a reason that you were speeding that I've never heard before, then I'll let you go." The man thought about it and said, "Officer, years ago, my wife ran off with a state trooper and I thought you were bringing her back." He said, "Have a great weekend." Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same, never, 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 I'll never be the same, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I want to talk to you today about your place of blessing. There are specific places where God has designed for you to be blessed. Places where He has favor, opportunity, provision waiting for you. Your destiny is connected to certain places. You can have faith, you can have a great attitude, but if you're not in the right place, you can miss what God has in store. In the book of Acts, Jesus told 500 people to go to the upper room and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. But only 120 people showed up. When the Holy Spirit came like a rushing, mighty wind, 380 people missed the blessing simply because they weren't in the right place. You have to be sensitive to what you're feeling on the inside. Listen to what God is saying to you, that still small voice. That's not random. It's not just your idea. That's God leading you into your place of blessing. Sometimes He'll close a door and move you out. You don't understand it. It looks like a setback. The truth is, it's setting you up. He's moving you to a place of promotion, a place where you'll meet divine connections, people who are instrumental in your purpose. Other times, God will have you stay where it's uncomfortable. You're not seeing any growth. You're being overlooked. You'll be tempted to leave. "I don't have to put up with this." Sometimes the right place is a difficult place, an unfair place, a place where you're doing the right thing, but the wrong thing is happening. This is what happened with Hagar. She was Abraham and Sarah's maid. When they couldn't have a baby, Sarah told Abraham to sleep with Hagar. They had a son named Ishmael. You would think Sarah would be happy. It was her big idea, but she got upset with Hagar. She started treating her so badly, putting her down, making rude comments. Finally, Hagar said, "I'm out of here." She took her son and went off into the desert. The problem was she left her place of blessing. God never told her to leave. She was just upset. She had no food, no water, no way to survive out there. An angel appeared to her and said, "Go back to Sarah and continue to serve her." He was saying, "Go back to your place of blessing." Sometimes you have to stay when it's hard. You have to forgive those that did you wrong. You have to be good to people who are not being good to you. But notice how merciful God is. When she left that place, God didn't say, "Fine, you blew it. You should have known better. I'm done with you." No, God sent an angel to get her back to the right place. At times, we're all going to miss it. Leave where we're supposed to stay or stay where God wants us to leave. The good news is, God's going to send that angel. He's not going to let you miss your place of blessing. He's going to keep whispering to you. You're going to hear that still small voice, that knowing on the inside telling you what to do. Now don't ignore it. Be sensitive to what you're feeling. See, the scripture says that God is ordering your steps. Ordering is not an option. He's not suggesting. He's not saying, "If you perform perfectly, then I'll guide you. If you don't get off course, then I'll bless you." No, your steps are ordered. He's going to keep leading you into places of blessing, places that He's already lined up favor, opportunity, promotion. Now stay open for change. Don't fight the closed doors. Don't get discouraged when you get pushed out. I don't understand it, Joel. I was doing the right thing. Why didn't this work out? God's leading you to a place of greater blessing. I've learned being in the right place is better than getting your way. God knows what's best for you. You may not see it now, but later on, you're going to see how God was shutting one door to open a better door. You would have never reached your potential if he had not stopped one place of blessing and moved you to a different place. But perhaps you feel stuck. You're not making any progress. And you're tempted to try to force a door to open, manipulate things. No, be still and know that he is God. If the door hasn't opened, then shine where you are. That's your place of blessing right now. You may not be seeing any growth, any favor. You're in a time of testing. You have to prove to God who you are, that you're not going to get bitter. You're not going to start slacking off. You're going to do the right thing when it's hard. That's passing the test. You keep doing that, and you're going to see new levels of your destiny. Matthew chapter 1, Joseph was engaged to his fiancée, Mary. She became pregnant with Jesus, and of course, he didn't understand. He was going to quietly break off the engagement when an angel appeared to him in a dream and told him to go through with the marriage. They were living in Nazareth, planning on having the baby there, but the Roman emperor called for a census. Everyone had to travel back to their original hometown. Well, Joseph was from Bethlehem. That was a 90-mile journey. Mary was 9 months pregnant. I can imagine telling Victoria at 9 months pregnant, hey, babe, we're going to get on a donkey and travel for a week. Camp out along the way. It's going to be so fun. I'd be your former pastor. Mary was bouncing up and down, hot outside, her feet hurting, back swelling. She is uncomfortable. She didn't understand it. But God wasn't just making them miserable, having them to suffer. He was taking them to a place of blessing. Micah prophesied 700 years earlier that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. It wasn't a coincidence that the emperor called for the census at this particular time. He could have called for it 3 months later. They would have had the baby in Nazareth. It was all a part of God's plan, strategically moving them to where they needed to be. Joseph and Mary were admiring their new son when three wise men showed up. They had traveled a great distance following the eastern star. And when they saw Jesus, they fell on their knees and began to worship him. Mary and Joseph were standing there in awe. These wise men opened their treasure chests, these boxes filled with gold and jewels, and they gave them all these gifts. Think about Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem. At the same time, God had these wise men headed that way. They met at the place of blessing, where God designed them to see his favor in a new way. It was difficult for Mary and Joseph to get there. It was an inconvenience time. They didn't understand it, but God was ordering their steps, and he was ordering the steps of the wise men, the people bringing the provision. God is not only ordering your steps, but he's ordering other people's steps to meet you at your place of blessing. You may not understand it. You're uncomfortable. You had to leave Nazareth, so to speak, but your time is coming. You're going to see what God was up to. The door closing wasn't random. The person that forced you out, the unexpected change wasn't happenstance. It was strategic. It was the hand of God moving you to a place of greater blessing, greater favor, greater fulfillment. King Herod heard about this little baby possibly being the Messiah. He was afraid he was going to lose control. He wanted to get rid of Jesus, but he couldn't find him. So he had all the male Hebrew babies killed. An angel came to Joseph in a dream and told him to flee to Egypt with his family. In the middle of the night, they took off. Jesus was just a few weeks old. Mary was still getting over the birth. They wanted to enjoy their new baby, but they were on the run to a foreign country. This wasn't just another bad break, another inconvenience. This was prophecy being fulfilled. It was prophesied, I have called my son out of Egypt. Herod died and they moved back to Nazareth. Another prophecy fulfilled that Jesus would be a Nazarene. There was an old man named Simeon. It was prophesied that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. Mary and Joseph took baby Jesus to the temple to dedicate him. Just so happened Simeon was there. He took the baby in his hands and said, "Oh man, now I can die in peace. I have seen the Savior." You look at all these different locations, forced to leave Nazareth, to Bethlehem, flee to Egypt, back to Nazareth, then to the temple. They weren't random. They were strategically orchestrated. Each step was their place of blessing, place of provision, place of protection. It wasn't the enemy dictating their life. It was the hand of God ordering their steps. Like with them, there are prophecies spoken over your life. Things that God has already ordained for you. Favor he's already lined up. Wise men he's already scheduled. Doors opening he's already arranged. But it may not all happen at the same place. There will be twists, turns, unexpected moves, people that walked away, things that weren't fair. Instead of fighting change, learn to embrace change. Recognize that's God ordering your steps. He wouldn't be changing things if he wasn't leading you to a place of greater blessing. You may not see it right away. There are things that don't make sense. Seems like a setback. You have to go to Bethlehem. You were comfortable in Nazareth, so to speak. Plus you're pregnant. It's the worst time. Then Herod starts making threats. People start coming against you. They cannot stop your destiny. God is using them like a pawn to move you to where he wants you to be. You may not understand everything, but you can trust that God knows what he's doing. He'll have the wise men show up. Unexpected favor, promotion you didn't see coming. It won't happen anywhere. It will happen at the place where God has ordained for you to be blessed. After I finished high school, I went to Oral Roberts University to study television production. They had one of the best studios, the best equipment. The first week I was there, I went to the production office and applied for a job. I met this young man about 28 years old, and he was the production manager in charge of all the hiring. I told him my background, that I had run camera and been involved at production at Lakewood, and he and I hit it off like old friends. And he showed me around the studios, the cameras, the editing suites, and I was amazed. This was everything I dreamed of. I couldn't wait to be a part. I told him that I didn't have to run camera. I was happy with pulling cable. I just wanted to be in that environment. He said, "We'd love to have you, Joel. I'll call you and get it all set up." I left so excited. A week went by and he didn't call. 2 weeks, nothing. I called him, but he is always busy. I went back to the production office, left a message again and again. Never heard a thing. I was so disappointed. I couldn't understand why that door didn't open. I finished that first year of school and I felt so strongly that I was supposed to come back to Lakewood and start a television ministry. My siblings had all gotten their degrees, but I knew this was what God was leading me to do. I came back and started the television outreach and we saw the church begin to flourish. Well, looking back now, I realize if God had opened that door at the university, I would have gotten so caught up in what they were doing, so engrossed in the production, I would have never come back home. I know my personality. You couldn't have convinced me to leave. Sometimes God closes doors that we don't understand at the time. That didn't make sense. I had the experience. They needed help. The man was my friend. But God is your doorkeeper. He knows the right doors to open and the right doors to close. What looked like a blessing to me would have kept me from the real blessing that God had in store. Not to work for another ministry my whole life, but to use my gifts and talents at the ministry God had given my family. When you don't understand it, you have to trust. God, you know what's best for me. I'm gonna follow where you lead. When you open doors, when you push me out, I'm gonna take steps of faith with a good attitude. God, when doors don't open, when it feels like I'm stuck, I'm gonna keep being faithful where I am. When you have that kind of attitude, God will keep you in your place of blessing. Well, I worked 17 years behind the scenes here at Lakewood, and at one point I had all these radio stations lined up to carry my father's weekly message. And I had everything arranged, gotten all the times, the stations cleared. I asked my father if he would come down once a month and make the openings and closings. Just take about an hour, no big deal. My father said, Joel, I'm 75 years old. I'm not looking for any more work. I just want to relax and pastor the church. I was so disappointed. I thought, God, you put big things in me. I'm young. I don't want to do less. I want to do more. Thought maybe it's time to move on, do something else. Had an opportunity from one of the largest ministries, come work for them. A big sports network had offered me something. But when I got quiet, when I searched my heart, I could hear that still small voice saying, no, Joel, stay where you are. This is your father's ministry. This is his vision. Don't leave because you're not getting your way. Honor what he wants to do. And I made that decision that I was not only going to stay, but I was going to stay with a good attitude. Wasn't going to get bitter, slack off, be disgruntled. I kept being my best, doing what I could to make my father shine. I never dreamed that 2 years later, my father would suddenly pass and I would become the pastor. That big vision that God put in me, it was still going to happen. It just wasn't the right time. Had I not honored my father and stayed in my place of blessing, I wouldn't be here today. Your place of blessing doesn't mean that everything is going your way. Everyone will celebrate you. All these doors will open. It may mean that you're serving another person's vision. You don't feel like you're using everything you have. You're being overlooked, not getting opportunities to share your gifts. Many times those are tests. God is seeing, will you be faithful when you're not getting your way? Will you have a good attitude when they don't take your suggestions? They don't give you the credit. It's easy to leave, forget it, I'm out of here. But you have to search your heart. If you don't feel that release to leave, you need to stay. Because you're not going to be blessed anywhere. Your blessing is connected to the place God has called you to be. For Mary and Joseph, that blessing was waiting for them in Bethlehem. They had to leave. God sent a census to make sure they'd get there. For me, my blessing was staying at a place where I knew God wanted me to be, a place where I didn't feel like I was using my gifts to the full. But you don't know what's coming. You're in a time of preparation. God is getting you ready for what he's about to do. Think about David. He was out in the shepherd's fields taking care of his father's sheep. He knew he had big things in him, but he didn't try to force doors to open. He didn't get bitter because his father left him out. He didn't slack off because he was doing something less than he knew was in him. His father asked him to take lunch to his brothers who were in another city to do a menial task. David could have said, sorry, Dad, I'm not an errand boy. I have more in me. You'll have to find someone else. No, David was faithful in small things when he wasn't getting his way, when doors weren't opening. While he was taking lunch to his brothers, something that seemed insignificant, that's where he heard Goliath taunting the Israelites. Had he not been faithful in the small, he would have never defeated Goliath. Don't think your place of blessing has to be something super exciting, super important, where everyone sees you. Many times your place of blessing is being faithful with things that no one pays attention to. David didn't get to go to the throne. He went back to the shepherd's fields. King Saul suffered with depression. He needed someone to play music for him. They asked David to come to the palace, not to be the king, not to be a trusted advisor, but to be a part-time musician. Play the harp when we call you, otherwise we don't need you. But you have to recognize you're not working under people, you're working under God. He's keeping all the records. The scripture says he's taking you from glory to glory. Sometimes you're in between one glory and another glory. You can think, Joel, this is not my place of blessing. Nobody appreciates me. I'm undervalued. I'm overlooked. I know I'm called in to be in leadership, but all I'm doing is playing this harp. Here's how strategic God is. David had been in the shepherd's fields his whole life. All he had known was taking care of sheep. Now he's in the palace in the presence of King Saul. God is showing him what it's like to be a king. He's getting him familiar with the palace, and how a king operates, protocol, the staff that serves him. He doesn't realize, but this task of playing the harp is divinely orchestrated. God put him there to get him prepared for where he was going. all those years working behind the scenes here at Lakewood, I had to edit my father's sermons. He would speak like 40 minutes, and I'd have to cut them down to 25 for the television program. And I would listen to each message four or five times and try to get his train of thoughts and all those stories, scriptures, all the examples. I didn't realize God was getting me prepared for what I'm doing now. I couldn't see it at the time, but that was my place of blessing. It was a place strategically orchestrated to get me prepared for the fullness of my destiny. What am I saying? Don't despise where you are right now. You don't know what God is up to. You can't see how He's making you, molding you, getting you prepared for greater responsibility, greater resources, and greater favor. 1 Kings chapter 17, the prophet told King Ahab that because the people had turned away from Jehovah and because they were worshiping idols, there was going to be a drought in the land for 3.5 years. God said to Elijah, "Leave here and go down to the brook Cherith, for I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." Notice there's a place where God has commanded you to be blessed. Not maybe, hope so, if the economy gets better. No, He's commanded the ravens to feed you. That means He's commanded provision, commanded resources, commanded the right people to be there. But here's the whole key. The blessing wasn't anywhere. It was at a specific place. The ravens were waiting for him at the brook. Elijah could have stayed in Samaria, thought God is faithful. I'm sure He'll take care of me here. He would have missed the blessing. When God tells you to do something, don't reason it out. Don't ask four friends. Don't pray about it 6 months. Don't come up with 12 excuses. Just do it. Be obedient to what you're hearing in your spirit. God is leading you to your place of blessing. Sometimes you have to leave a friend that's pulling you down. Leave an environment where you're being poisoned. Or leave a bad attitude. Leave bitterness. Leave what didn't work out and move forward into the new things God has for you. Elijah went down to the brook. And every morning, just like clockwork, the raven showed up. He had supernatural provision. I'm sure he was happy. "God, you've been good to me. I found my place of blessing." But one day, the ravens quit coming. The brook went from a stream to a trickle to barely flowing to nothing. What do you do when God leads you to a brook that dries up? What used to work doesn't work anymore. God was showing us that just because it happened one way doesn't mean it's always going to happen that way. Stay open for change. Be willing to accept the new thing God is doing. If you get so set and think it's only going to happen one way, then you'll miss out. God told Elijah, "Go to the city of Zarephath, for I have commanded a widow to feed you there." Notice another place where God commanded him to be blessed, but a different location. Now, Zarephath is where Ahab and his wife Jezebel were from. She didn't like Elijah. She wanted to get rid of him. Out of all the places God could have told Elijah to go, He sent him to the enemy's territory. And the way God does things always requires faith. He could have sent him to his friends, his relatives, supporters. I'm sure Elijah thought, "God, you know that lady is after me. Can't you extend my stay by the brook? Can I get a late checkout? God, I'm comfortable here." To reach your destiny, you have to get out of your comfort zone and take some steps of faith. Don't get stuck where the brook has dried up. Our God is a moving God, a progressive God. He's taking you on a journey. And that place of blessing is going to move. It may not always be physical. It's in your thinking. You have to leave a limited mindset. Quit telling yourself you're not qualified. And take that new position at work. Teach that class. Volunteer at the church. Quit thinking about the brook that dried up, what didn't work out, who did you wrong, the relationship that didn't make it. God is still in control. He knew it was going to dry up. That's why He's commanded another place for you to be blessed. Elijah arrived at Zarephath, and the widow took care of him until the drought was over. But how many of us are stuck by the brook waiting for what used to be, wondering why it's drying up? You have to leave where God was and go to where God is, the new place of blessing. That's where your provision is waiting for you. Is there something God is asking you to do, but you keep putting it off? You're afraid of the unknown, not sure how it's going to work out. You can't play it safe your whole life and become who God's created you to be. Maybe God is asking you to stay. You want to leave. Like David, you have more in you. Like Hagar, you're not being treated right. You're in a test. If you'll do the right thing when it's hard, you'll see God begin to turn things in your favor. There are prophecies He has spoken over your life, things He's destined for you to accomplish. You have not missed them. You keep trusting Him even when you don't understand it. Don't fight the things that don't make sense. Your steps are being ordered. There are things happening behind the scenes right now that you can't see. Now be sensitive to what He's saying and be quick to obey. If you do this, I believe and declare you will live in your place of blessing. Like Mary and Joseph, the wise men are about to show up. Blessings you didn't see coming. Like Elijah, the ravens will be waiting for you. Supernatural provision, favor, opportunity, the fullness of your destiny. In Jesus' name. And if you receive it, can you say amen? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for what we've heard today. I know it falls on great ground, faithful people here at Lakewood. And Lord, I thank you that we are sensitive to your voice. And Lord, I thank you that we'll trust you in a greater way. Lord, I thank you that you said you'd give us the power to obey, that we'll know when to leave, when to stay. And Lord, that we will stay in that place of blessing. Lord, I just thank you for all of us that you already have the ravens waiting for us, that you have the wise men already en route. Lord, so we trust you with our lives. I thank you, Lord, that you'll bless your people this week and their children as they go about to school, to work, or in the summer. Lord, just your angels protecting them, watching after them, giving them a blessed week in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed in prayer, just a quick question if you have a moment. If your heart stopped beating in the next few minutes, are you at peace with God? Do you know where you'd spend eternity? If not, I would love to pray with you. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to help you find a new beginning. I know this comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In just a moment, if you're not at peace with the Lord, or maybe you are a Christian, but you've grown cold toward God, you know you need to rededicate your life. You need a fresh new start. If that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. I can't think of a better time to get on the road to victory than right now. God is not mad at you. Your sins have already been forgiven. All you have to do is accept the free gift of Christ's salvation. Will you do it this morning? The enemy in your thoughts will whisper, do it next week. Do it another time. Listen, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. You're not hearing this by accident. Well, Joel, it's embarrassing to stand in front of everyone. I have people at the house. I can't lift my hand. Listen to what Jesus said. If you won't be ashamed of me before people, then I won't be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. I'm going to give you a great opportunity to show God that you're not ashamed of Him. If you're not at peace with the Lord, or you just need to rededicate your life, you need a fresh new start, a new beginning. If that's you, would you be bold, take that step of faith and stand right where you are? We'll pray together. Would you do that? Come on, Lakewood, let's give them a hand as they stand all over the building. Come on, don't put it off. I feel like that'll be a few more. Anybody else? Still time for you up top, watching, listening. One more big hand, Lakewood, still standing all over. Anybody else? Still time for you. Well, God bless you. Remain standing if you don't mind. Let me tell you how proud we are of you. More importantly, I know the angels are rejoicing in the heavens. God's never going to be ashamed of you because you've taken this step of faith. The scripture says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me help you to call. Do you mind all praying this after me if you would? Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Amen. Remain standing one more moment. I want to tell you how much we love you. We're going to be praying for you. I also want to give you a personal invitation. and even a challenge to come back and be with us on a regular basis. Like Melvin talked about, my challenge is give us the next year of your life. Make a commitment, just like you go to work, that for the next year, you're gonna be here in person, online, on the radio, however you do it. I'll make a promise, before that year is over, your life will never be the same for the better. We're gonna help you grow and become who God's created you to be. After service, if you need anything, right over here in the lobby, there's a room called New Beginnings. There's people there, staff, prayer, information, anything you might need. You can also take the New Beginnings course online and the marriage classes after service, as we talked about, and things for other avenues as well that you can be blessed. But know this, the moment you stood up, God washed away all your sins, your mistakes, your failures. You are starting with a fresh, clean slate. Write it down in your Bible, June 18, 2023, a new day of victory in your life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's all stand together, if you would, please. Thanks for coming out today. How many of you are going home better off than you were before? Amen. Hey, if you're visiting, I'd love to meet you. I'll be in the lobby after service, but I'd love to see you. But until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord show you His favor and have mercy on you. May the Lord watch over you and give you His peace. Have a blessed Father's Day. We love you very much. See you back real soon.
Awesome.
Wow.
Amazing. So grateful. So yeah. Grateful. When the word says, be still and know that I am God, he means you can trust him.
Yes, you can.
You can trust him.
Yeah.
I grew up hearing when the Lord closes a door, he always opens a window.
Right.
And there are things and ways that God moves. Like, man, we have so many testimonies of how it was that one thing that led to another thing. That part of just being steady in God and not moving, not, you know, because there's so many other words and voices around us that will speak into our lives.
Yeah.
And we just have to stick with what God actually said.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't want to do, you don't have to. You don't have to do another thing. You just wait on the peace of God, and then God makes a way.
Yeah, I've watched the Lord do that in so many occasions. You know, just even recently with our children, there have been some things where you're going along and you're feeling like you're listening to the voice of God, you're doing what He told you to do, and then all of a sudden, the Lord just kind of begins to shift things and take you in a different direction that you didn't expect. And if you hold steady to God and you keep your eyes fixed on Him, you'll end up in the right place. Sometimes it's a whisper. It really is a whisper, you know.
Comes down to a whisper.
I was talking to my mother-in-law, your mom, the other day, and we were talking about just some things that are sometimes you're in the middle of something and you're headed in the right direction and you know you're headed in the right direction, and then you just feel like God says, we're taking a left here. So you just got to keep your eyes on Jesus to know when those turns are, because God is really leading us. He really is. And He leads us in peace.
He does lead us in peace. And I think in times of testing, it's tempting to go find your own way.
Absolutely.
Many times, Michael and I've been in ministry for 30 years. We've been here at Lakewood for 16. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you see so much of life. There's so many things that happen. And the Lord says, steady, steady wins the race. Steady and slow wins the race, you know, because it's not about just the moment. It's about longevity in the spirit. You want to run with God. You want to see God fulfill all the things that He's put in your heart to do. And there's some things that just take time. We've watched God work in seasons that was just a quick work. I always like those ones.
But those a whole lot better.
But there's ones that God works out in a full season, maybe like 3 months. There's other things that God works out in years and in decades.
Yes.
But listen, if you trust Him, He's the smartest.
You'll never go wrong.
He's the wisest.
Yeah.
And He loves you and He's got a good plan for you. So we're just thrilled that we could share this with you today. So grateful for Joel. Grateful.
You know, if you just gave your life to Jesus, we just want you to know we have New Beginnings. It's even online. You can take this class online. We have a lot of online classes that you can take advantage of. But if you just gave your life to Jesus, we want to help you get a new start. We want you to, you've just started with Jesus, and you'll never regret it. But we have things that we want to do that'll help you along in your walk with Christ. We want you to know.
Text.
Yeah, text 77377, and I believe it's new, and
yes.
And it should be on the screen right there. But
that's
if you
right.
If you just want to use that resource, it is a powerful, powerful thing that'll help you to make the next steps in your walk with Christ.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to forget, Hope and Life is this week, Wednesday
yes.
through Friday, here at Lakewood Church, the Hope and Life Conference. Let me tell you, for years we've been coming, and we would bring a bunch of kids with us, and we would watch them get saved. We watch
yep.
friends and neighbors get saved. But also, I have to say that it's one of my favorite conferences that I've ever been to.
Yeah.
The speakers are always great. I am not that young. I'll admit it. I'm not that young, but I feel young when I get there. And I'm telling you, it is worth it. And there's great worship leaders. Torrin Wells will be with us.
Elevation
Rhythm mm-hmm. will be with us. And our
Lakewood
Music. They
on.
Just got back from March for Jesus in Brazil. Our team went to March for Jesus in Brazil, sang in Portuguese.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are next level.
Yeah.
They're amazing. They're amazing.
We also have summer fun days for the kids
yeah.
and Kids Life. And if you have children up into the fifth grade, it's 8 weeks, and it's an 8-week program. It's like Vacation Bible, Bible school
yeah.
for the summer, but it's like every weekend.
Every weekend,
so
yeah.
if you want to come and let your kids or your grandkids be a part of that, that would be so amazing. It's a lot of fun for the kids, and they get to see how awesome God is, and that God is love, and that God cares about every detail of your life. So please make sure you get your kids out to Summer Fun Days.
Yeah.
It's the next 8 weeks. And then we have our blood drive on July 16th. And if you'd like to be a part of that, we'd be
yeah.
thrilled to have you save lives. So, we're just so thrilled. And Pastor Nick Nelson has his
new book
out that's coming out August 8th. And you can jump in on that, too. It's about you can have your dreams. You
yes.
can fulfill the dreams that God has for you.
We're so proud of him.
So proud of him. So proud.
We have a wealth here yeah. at Lakewood Church. So many great resources for you. And we pray that you take advantage of them, because we know that God wants to use these things to help you grow in your walk with Jesus. And we're all growing, and we're all drawing near to him because he is faithful. Happy Father's Day
Happy
to all
Father's
you fathers
Day.
Out there. We pray that
yeah.
you're blessed today and enjoy something delicious to eat. I'm planning on it myself. But anyway, we love you guys.
Have a great day.
Have
God
a great
bless
day.
You.
God bless you.